You're listening to jazz pianist Vijay Iyer, one of the rising stars of the jazz world. He's released three critically acclaimed albums in the last 3 years. One of the remarkable things about Iyer is his background. He's Indian by heritage, and one of his projects is to create a new kind of music, a synthesis of Western jazz and Indian music. Iyer originally intended to go into science, not music. He has a PhD in physics and a deep understanding of both math and neuroscience, all of which he uses to make jazz. For example, he's even based some of his compositions on one of mathematics' most famous series of numbers, the Fibonacci sequence. And Strange Champs asked Iyer how he's managed to meld his science with his art.
Well, what happened was after Yale, I did my undergraduate in math and physics at Yale, and then I entered the PhD program at UC Berkeley in physics. But at the same time, I'd been playing music all along. And in fact, in college, I had started writing my own music and leading my own bands and stuff. Then when I got to the Bay Area, I was suddenly kind of immersed in a musical culture. You know, I basically apprenticed with a lot of elder musicians. And so I was doing that while I was in a PhD program in physics, you know. But then what I ended up doing was, instead of completely abandoning academia, I was able to put together my own interdisciplinary PhD program at UC Berkeley. And I ended up doing a dissertation on music perception and cognition. So basically the science of music, not quite the physics or math of music, but more the cognitive science of music. You know, it's basically the study of the mind and the brain and everything in between. A lot of that work kind of happened in a disembodied fashion, meaning that mental processes took place somewhere besides the body, you know?
So was this giant machine you kind of tow around to,
yes.
to supply the energy to run the brain.
Yeah, and all that really mattered was what we did with our brains. So that's kind of this bias that's part of Western thought. It goes back to Descartes. Cartesian duality, it's called.
And I can see as a musician why this would interest you, because music is so physical. I mean, as a pianist, you must feel that when you're making music, you're not just using your head.
Well, what was important for me was thinking about rhythm, for example. Musical rhythm is essentially the rhythms of bodies in action.
Do you mean like the breath?
Well, breath is one inherent bodily rhythm that we have. Basically, breathing, walking, and talking all sort of take place on slightly different timescales. You know, the breath basically corresponds to the phrase, and walking basically corresponds to what we call pulse or beat. And mm-hmm. talking corresponds to the stuff of music, the notes of music, the fine-grained detail in the music.
Is there a track from one of your recent CDs that you might point to illustrate some of what you're talking about?
Let me think. You know, you could listen to my version of Black and Tan Fantasy, which is a song by Duke Ellington. Basically, I'm kind of connecting with the history of stride piano, and you are responsible for multiple streams of activity. You have to, in the left hand, kind of generate a pulse and a sense of buoyancy and steadiness, and in the right hand, often sort of cut across that and be almost more conversational. It has to almost form sentences, I guess you could say that way. So it has to add up and make sense.
Getting back to that math degree of yours, you wrote a wonderful piece for The Guardian a year or so ago, How Fibonacci Taught Us to Swing.
that title was not my idea.
Oh, it's a great title. But what you say in the piece is, if I'm getting this right, you revealed that you actually used the Fibonacci sequence of numbers to structure some of your music.
Yeah, but I'm not the first to do that. You know, I can point you to other people who did that. Bartok, most famously. Coltrane, too.
So without going terribly heavily into the numbers, how does the Fibonacci sequence relate to your music?
Without going into numbers.
Well, we're going to the sum. I mean, the Fibonacci sequence is you know, the famous 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. It's basically each number in the sequence is the sum of the previous two numbers, right? And then it goes on forever.
It does. But what happens as you go further into forever, any pair of numbers in the sequence, if you divide one by the other, you get closer to this special ratio called the golden ratio, which is an irrational number, but it's a number that occurs all over the place in nature and in design and in architecture and in the growth of snail shells and sunflowers and all kinds of unlikely places. It basically represents growth.
Aesthetic beauty, doesn't it? Isn't that ratio behind a lot of things we find visually very beautiful?
That claim could be made. I guess what I'm trying to do is explore that. To what degree is that really true? You know, part of what I did, and particularly in that, what I talk about in that article, is an arrangement I did of this famous soul jazz song from the 70s called Mystic Brew by Ronnie Foster. But it has a particular harmonic rhythm that essentially is a Fibonacci rhythm. So then I wanted to see if I could test this and kind of take it through successive pairs of Fibonacci numbers. Play the same song, but through different Fibonacci-derived versions of the song. That's probably the easiest. I don't know if that makes... It probably doesn't make any sense. But the point is not for it to make sense when I explain it, because, in fact, the musical result is the point.
It's fascinating because it sounds like you're using math to explore music. You start with math and say, well, let's see what might happen if we played around with this in musical terms.
I can see it working both ways, but I'm less interested in validating the sciences by making art that's in service of the sciences. I'm more interested in the sciences kind of serving art. You know, I think that all of my heroes, like Coltrane and like Thelonious Monk and Duke Ellington, they were onto all of this, all the stuff that we're talking about. They're basically on the frontiers of human perception, as far as I know. And yet they're using what they find in a creative way to make something that connects to us as humans.
Jazz pianist Vijay Iyer talked with Anne Strainchamps. If you'd like a complete list of the music we played and also transcripts, longer uncut interviews, and our comic book on the science of consciousness, you'll find them all on our website at ttbook.org/meetyourmind. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge. I'm Jim Fleming. This hour is called Mind and Brain. It's part of our special series, Meet Your Mind, a user's guide to the science of consciousness, brought to you by Wisconsin Public Radio. Our series was produced by Steve Paulson with the help of Anne Strainchamps, Sarah Nix, Doug Gordon, Veronica Rickert, and Charles Monroe Kane. Our technical director is Kirill Owen. Steve Mullen at Walk West Productions wrote the theme music. Special thanks to two of our sponsors for Meet Your Mind, Promega Corporation, providing tools and technologies for research in life science, and the Neuer Foundation, exploring meaning and commonality of human experience.
PRI, Public Radio International.